This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Good afternoon to you, Jan Vermeulen. Are you well?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Whole lot of interesting stuff there, but two stories in particular jumped up at me. And the first is this issue of WhatsApp investing a whole bunch of money in voice to text. Am I finally going to be able to request WhatsApp to type those voice notes out for me that I can read them in a meeting?
Yes, and hopefully without handing them that personal information, because in limiting how much they wish to invest in this, they are looking at using, at first, the Apple service. Apple has a transcription or speech-to-text service that they can use on iPhone. And what's great about that is if you have a sufficiently advanced iPhone, a lot of that actually can happen on the device. And so, you know, for English, obviously, it remains to be seen what they do for other languages. But yeah, they're busy testing it on iPhone. And, hopefully that means that the feature will be coming to Android, but they'll obviously have to figure out a different way to do that than they're doing it on iPhone, and which will probably involve using Google's built-in speech-to-text conversion systems. So, yeah, it looks like they are actually doing this. And it reminds me a little bit of the innovation of visual voicemail back in the day. Now, while, you know, you couldn't see a transcription of your voicemail, being able to pause and play your voicemails at will was a revelation. I think this will be the same.
Just seems to me, and I'm just talking personally here, Jan, is that this technology has got a way to go. I mean, I use that voice to text because I type very slowly. Doesn't really work all that well. If there is, they're not very good at understanding context. So if you say, you know, the council is meeting the councillor to take his counsel, I don't think the device would have a clue how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very natural way of speaking in fairness, but regarding natural speech, if you actually sit and listen, now a former president took a lot of flack for his lack of adherence to English syntax, but when we speak normally, there's a lot of stuff that the way we speak is quite different from the way we write. And so when, you know, a voice note is just going to be converted just like that into text, I'm not sure it's going to necessarily be understandable without tone and so on being conveyed along with that. And just as a challenge, you know, folks can go and try that. I've had to, for example, sit in hour-long roundtable discussions or whatever, where I've tried to have that automatically transcribed, and it just falls over because of the very different way natural speech sounds to us in the moment compared to what we expect when we are reading something.
Well, I just hope they make vast improvements on that score, because just would change my life. Another interesting story in your publication is that of the Amazon, or the proposed Amazon headquarters to be built in Cape Town. Massive investment, and it looks like it may hit a roadblock.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because there are so many different factions at play. So usually, you know, the battle lines are quite clear. You have the developer, and then you have people opposed for, you know, various predictable reasons. It's usually either environmental or cultural like a thing about it being unsightly, you know, blocking their views, or some combination of this. Now, in this case, there's a deep cultural issue with regards to the Khoisan people. But there are at least two distinct factions here. Because you've got, on the one hand, the developer together with a group of Khoisan people who call themselves the First Nations Collective, who have brokered a deal regarding this development. And on the other hand, you've got another group of First Nations representatives saying that no, this, you know, whatever was negotiated is not good enough. This is intruding upon our sacred ground. This is at the River Club in Cape Town where the Lispiek and Black Rivers meet. If anybody out there knows the area. Apparently this is quite a sacred site to the Khoisan people. Many a battle were fought and won and lost there, you know, amongst
really?
Other things.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so, yeah, and so, you know, there's these varied objections to it. However, on the other side of it, what was interesting in this story is that the First Nations Collective says, now hang on a minute, we've negotiated with the developer to signpost the history of this place around it and to landmark what our people have experienced, you know, and the quote, I wish I could give it to you off the top of my head from the chief there, basically it comes to the effect of the genocide of the Khoisan people and you know the dispossession of their land and the theft of their cultural property will all be commemorated or commemorated is probably the wrong word but remembered, enshrined in this place. And so he feels and the group that he represents feels that it's a massive victory that they've finally got a developer in South Africa to actually even acknowledge the Khoisan people. It's a first for South Africa at all.
Absolutely fascinating. I'm just really interested. Sorry to interrupt you. What kind of investment are we talking about and how many jobs created?
Right. So we're talking about 4.5 billion rand. According to the executive mayor, it is 5,000 direct jobs and 15,000 indirect jobs that are at risk here. That's aside from all the revenue that'll be going to the various levels of government. So the city, the provincial government and the national government and the side benefits of the negotiation regarding the ecological problem in that area. Right now, that area is used as an illegal dumping site. The river is not in a good state. And the developer has committed to turn that around and to keep it in good nick. Now, you can imagine Amazon is going to have a headquarters there. The folks who work at Amazon would really like a nice working environment. So they're not going to tolerate littered badly kept river, right? So they're going to look after it nicely. And so, it's interesting to see these competing interests at play.
Yeah.
But it's not the only time. You actually see a developer that is really committed to everything. They've committed to ensuring, to actually rehabilitating the area, to safeguarding any tactile heritage they find on the site, and to enshrine heritage linked to non-tactile heritage linked to the site. And, you know, for the groups opposing, that's still not good enough. They're saying, no, we want this place undeveloped. Nothing is good enough for them. And I don't think that that's tractable. They need to be able to come to the table and compromise on something. Otherwise, they're just going to lose.
What a fantastically interesting debate. I'm just thinking while you're talking, Jan. I mean, it's all very well. Imagine trying to tell Aboriginals in Australia that you want to put a development up near Ayers Rock. It wouldn't matter what they offered. It wouldn't be acceptable. But I'm not quite sure that the site is quite the equivalent of Ayers Rock. So fascinating.
Not quite.
Debate.
And you have groups in support of it, which is quite different.
Yeah. No, really fascinating. Thank you. It's a discussion that I hope to have when we are back on air next week, because we are all for quite a while, only back on Thursday. Jan Vermeulen, editor of mybroadband.co.za. Thank you so much for your input this afternoon.
Huge pleasure. Have a great afternoon.